So, I don't know what it is tonight. No. It was funny because this morning the Lord like put something on my heart, you know, to start with. And it's like, well, he's not putting that on my heart now. And so it's like, what are you putting on my heart, Lord? Silence. So we get to find out, huh? Isn't that fun? So so we're starting with the notes and we'll see where he goes. And I just love it because he always does that. He'll just like lead me and guide me. And then he'll start taking me off on this path, you know, and I'm like thinking that's not my notes. And so where are we going on this path? And then halfway through the story, he'll show me and it's like, okay, that makes sense. And he brings it all together, but I never not quite sure where we're going. It's really amazing. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like almost like he's, I don't know how to explain it. It's like he's like talking to me like I'm plugged into him, you know, and if I unplug, I won't know what I'm supposed to say up here, you know, and then I'd get really nervous. But it's like just this, I don't know how to say it. He's like just communicating with me and then I give it out to you and right now he's silent. So let's look at the notes and see what he has for me because I do pray about the notes too and I ask Lord, what do these women need to hear? Because he knows each one of you and he knows exactly what you guys need to hear. And even if I teach on the same subject, sometimes I'll re-ask him, what do these women need to hear? Because you guys are a different group of women each time. So anyhow, last week we looked and we learned about women who changed the world through sin. And when we looked at that, we first looked at some pretty big sins. We looked at the sin of, we talked about the sinful woman and that possibly her sin was prostitution. That's a pretty big sin. And we talked about abortion even, and that's a huge sin. And we looked at how these huge sins affect people around us and can have a ripple effect in our life where they just go from each single person on. And we just, because of sin in our heart and sin in our life and even sin in things that we had done before, how it affects us today and how it affects our children even and our families. But then we also talked about the little sins, and I told you the story about my skirt. Well, tonight I have another skirt on, and I have no story about this skirt, but anyhow, except that it was only $7 at Robinson's May, and that's a pretty good story, you know. But anyhow, we talked about how just something as crazy as somebody taking a skirt that you had put on hold, and how that little sin of manipulation and covetousness and selfishness can then just affect everybody around us. And how that rippled down to me and it rippled to my husband and then from my husband. It's just crazy. And so we looked at how we can be women who are changing the world around us on account of sin. And then this week the topic is being women who change the world through grace. Through God's wonderful gift of grace that he gives us. And if you did your study this week, we looked at four women in the Bible who are impacted lives around them, and some of them, I believe, are still impacting lives today because of God's wonderful gift of grace that he bestowed upon them. And so we also talked about that that for our study, instead of having a theme verse, we have a theme woman, because after all, the title is Women Who Changed the World. And so our theme woman is in Luke chapter 7. And go ahead and turn there, because there's a lot of women who weren't here last week. And so we're just go ahead and read that story again. And for those of you that did your study, as you're turning to Luke chapter 7, in the study it showed you that the definition for grace means freedom from sin. And I just love that. And so many times you also hear people say that grace is getting what you don't deserve. And isn't that true? When you really think about what grace is a huge subject. I remember one time we were in Bulgaria. We brought a team there from the Bible College in Hungary, and they were pretty young. They were all college kids. And so I took them to this little village church in the middle of Bulgaria because I wanted them to not just see the capital city. I wanted them to see village life too. And so we were invited to this one church, and I could invite anyone that on the team to teach. So I picked this one young kid. I told him ahead of time, you're going to be teaching. So he prepared, and so he arrives at our apartment. And I go, what are you going to teach on? And he goes, I'm going to teach on grace. And I'm like, really? That's a huge subject. Are you going to be able to handle the subject of grace? And let alone simplify it enough that the message could be translated from English into Bulgarian and also be simplified enough for a person in a village to understand. You know, that's pretty huge. But grace, sometimes we go on these huge theological debates about grace, And it is a huge subject, but it does come down as something as simple as freedom from sin. And for us getting what we don't deserve. There's not one of us in this room that deserves the wonderful gift of grace. As we looked at last week, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's all. A-L-L. Every single one of us. Not one of us is exempt, myself included. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And if I know that a lot of you are like the women that I counsel all the time, for most of us, we also don't forgive ourselves. And we forever beat ourselves up for our past mistakes. But God doesn't want that for us. He says that your sins are forgiven. He loves you. And he is bestowing this gift of grace upon you because he wants you to be free from your past sin. Paul wrote in Romans 5:20, he says, "Where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Praise the Lord. Not that we're supposed to go out and keep on sinning. It even tells us that in Romans chapter 6. But when we do sin, grace abounds all the more. And so let's look at the story of the sinful woman again. And it's in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It begins. It says, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at a Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 'Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled.' 'You have judged correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sin?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" What a wonderful story. He said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." He was offering her the wonderful gift of grace. He was saying, "You are free from your sins, no matter what you have done. I'm offering you a gift that you don't deserve, all because I love you." And so it's interesting when we look at this story, the Bible, for most of us, the one that we have in our hand, isn't in chronological order, unless you happen to have the chronological Bible. But most of us don't carry that around because you can't like find a verse real easy, you know? And so this Bible isn't in chronological order. It doesn't show us what Jesus did every day in order. But you can look it up by getting the chronological Bible, and it will show you what Jesus' life was and how it actually is laid out. And so when you look chronologically at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just before this event at the Pharisee's house, Jesus taught to a crowd. And the words that he taught to this crowd are found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he said earlier that day. Before he went to the Pharisee's house, he was speaking to a crowd. And I wonder what her day was like that day. You know, was she so burdened down by her sin? Was she just to the point in her life that she was at her wits' end? Did she feel like she was just dwelling in the pit of despair? Was her life so terrible and so burdened by the weight and the guilt of her sin? Did she not even want to get up that morning? I wonder, what was her life like? Was it like ours that sometimes we're just like, Lord, I can't go on another day. It's too heavy. I think it's Psalms 38. It's not in my notes. Here we go again. Anyhow, I think it's Psalms 38 where David talks about just the weight of his sin. If you read it, it's like it's festering in his body. And when we have unconfessed sin in our life, or when we don't realize the true gift of God's grace, and we don't accept that gift, it's offered to us daily, it's our choice to accept it. When we don't accept that gift, then we can be so weighed down by the guilt and the shame that is in our life. And I wonder what she was feeling. Did she just not want to get out of bed? But did she pull herself out and decide to go about her errands that day? And she came upon a crowd and wondered, what's going on over there? And out of curiosity, she went? Or did somebody come up to her and say, hey, there's a man and he's speaking over there in the center of town and he's telling us things we don't even know and he's so filled with wisdom. And so she wanted to hear because she heard that. What was it? I don't know. But whatever it is, God knew that she needed to hear it because God loved her. And so he brought her that day for her to hear those words from Jesus that says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. And she realized that she needed that, that she was weary, that she was burdened, that she needed what Jesus was offering. Because she threw caution to the wind and she entered the Pharisee's house that night. She went back home. She got an expensive alabaster jar of perfume. And when you look that up, that was about a year's wage or something. It's a ridiculously expensive price of this gift that she brought to offer Jesus. And you know that Simon, he's a Pharisee, and he's like, he probably always was judging her in that town. And for her to think, I'm going to enter in to the Pharisee's house and approach Jesus, you know, obviously she craved what Jesus was offering for her to go there. It's just amazing. But she knew he was her only answer. And she wanted what he was willing to give her. Come, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come and accept my free gift of grace, and I will set you free from sin. Come and I will give you what you don't deserve, and I will bestow favor upon you. And she came. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I believe she accepted that gift. I mean, if you think about it, she went out of her way to go back home, to get the jar, to go back, to walk into that house. I think she accepted what he offered. And you know, where she was a sinful woman before, and her life probably did impact people because of her sin, like we talked about last week. Now she's a new person, a new creation in Christ. And I believe that from that moment, her life began to impact those around her, not because she was a sinful woman anymore, But because she was a woman saved by grace, who accepted God's gift of grace, and she began to impact other people. And she's still impacting people to this day, over 2,000 years later, because I counsel with her story all the time. And I see how her story, the story of the sinful woman, and how God saved her, and how he told her to go in peace, I see how her story is changing lives today. All because she accepted God's wonderful gift of grace. I see women's lives changed. You know what Joy shared, where she's like, I don't want to hear one more thing. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. You know, sometimes I've gone home from church and I walk in and I'm like, why do I need to know what I need to know? Could you tell me why I need to know what I need to know? And my husband will look at me like, what are you talking about? You don't want to know, because I don't want to know it either. But why do I need to know these things? Can you please tell me why the Lord seems to think it's necessary for me to learn some of these things? Because I don't really want to know these things. And sometimes as counseling, when you are a counselor, you do get overloaded by the things that are going on in people's lives and the sin that they themselves are destroying themselves with, or maybe somebody sinned against them and it's destroying them. And you just think, why? And you can get so burdened down by the sin in this world. But then the Lord reminds me, Cherie, quit looking at the world and the things that you see around. Because what's so awesome, my mom even asked me a long time ago when I started my ministry, why do you want to do this ministry? I would think that you would get so depressed from this ministry. And I told her back then, and sometimes I forget it, but I told her back then, no. I get to watch God transform lives. And it's awesome. I have seen women literally changed before my eyes when they understand your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. When they finally move the truth of God's grace from their head to their heart and they accept it here, that they truly are saved by grace. I get to see lives transformed. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And I see how the Lord is still using this woman's life to impact the world today through grace. And then we looked at four women of the Bible. One of them was a sinful woman. We looked at her at day four. But day one, we looked at Rahab. And we also looked up that the Hebrew word for grace could be translated favor or acceptance. And we see how that Rahab was granted favor because she chose to follow God and to hide the spies. And it's an amazing story. And I think what's most amazing to me in her story is that she ends up being in the genealogy of Jesus. You know, she was a prostitute. How does a prostitute end up in the genealogy of Jesus? And I think her story is there to show us how much God loves us, how much he really does forgive us, how he does restore us, how the moment we accept his grace, we can now be a different woman, a new creation in Christ, going out and changing the world through God's grace and no longer through sin. And it's amazing. It's a beautiful, wonderful story of God's grace. And we looked at Bathsheba, who was forgiven. What a wonderful story. Yes, there were terrible consequences to her sin. Terrible, terrible, sad consequences. And there are consequences to sin in our life. But God still forgave her, and he restored her. And he even gave her another child, Solomon. And Solomon, too, ends up being. He became king, and he ended up in the line of Jesus. Why? As another beautiful story to show us that no matter what our sin is, God can forgive us right now, the moment we come to him and we ask for his forgiveness. And we looked at the woman at the well, how God bestowed mercy on her. And we looked how mercy and grace is very closely related. And when you look up the definition for mercy, it means compassion shown to an offender. And we looked at how Jesus offered her compassion. What a wonderful thing. And it's important for us as women to learn this because we need to know how to offer grace and mercy and compassion to those around us. And then on day 5, I asked you the question again. If you could think of a modern day woman who changed the world through grace. And last week when we talked about it, I asked you the same question. And then we talked about Norma McCorvey, who changed the world through sin, through being Jane Roe in Roe versus Wade. And in 1973, when the Supreme Court made abortion legal throughout our land. And how one woman changed the world through sin. And so I wonder this week, who's the woman you picked? What woman did you think of that is changing the world through grace? And I wonder how many of you put down Norma McCorvey. Would you even think of her? She's the woman who changed the world through sin. Why would I put her down? Amazing story of how God loved her. And I was watching a movie called Reversing Roe, the Norma McCorvey story. And it talks about how there was a little 7-year-old girl named Emily who kept asking, "Miss Norma, will you go to church? Miss Norma, will you go to church?" Would we be willing to be women saved by grace? And instead of looking at somebody's sin, I'm not saying sin's okay or that we have to accept sin, but instead of looking at their sin, looking at them in the way that God sees them and asking them, "Would you go to church? Or do you know that you're loved by God?" It's an amazing story how the Lord ended up putting right next to an abortion clinic where Norma worked, he put a crisis pregnancy center. And that little girl would see her every day when she'd go with her mom to work there. "Miss Norma, will you go to church with me?" And she kept saying no, 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 because she didn't think she was worthy enough to go. And then finally one day she said yes. And she came and she accepted the Lord. And now she has a whole new testimony. A woman saved by grace. A woman forgiven. A woman who has been offered mercy and compassion and love. And she even went before Congress to say what I did was wrong. How many lives is she now impacting with her story of God's grace? And I want to encourage you that sometimes we can be so like the Pharisee here, Simon, who only saw the sinful woman's sin and thought in his mind, you know, if Jesus really were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. How many times is that our attitude? That we look at those around us and we see their sin. I was at Focus on the Family one time for a crisis pregnancy convention. There was over 700 crisis pregnancy centers represented there. And there was a woman there named Carol Everett. And she wrote a book titled Blood Money. And she was an owner of abortion clinics for many years before God saved her. And she was brave enough to tell her story publicly in Blood Money and how she explains that the pro-choice movement is not to help women, but that it's a billions of dollars a year industry, and it's just a business. And she tells the truth. Well, she was there, and so they asked her to come up and pray before one of the sessions. And I don't know if I could have walked out on that stage like she did, you know. But she did because she's a woman saved by grace, and she knew that. And she walked out there, and half the room stood up and gave her a standing ovation. But the other half wasn't even clapping. And I know how many women have been hurt by abortion. I know that. You guys can read my testimony. And I know how many women aren't healed over abortion. And so they're sitting there judging her, thinking, you know, she's part of the reason I hurt. But are we like Simon the Pharisee, who's saying, that woman's a sinner? If Jesus was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. And if that's our attitude, then we are still women who are changing the world through sin, the sin in our heart. So I want to encourage you, give those thoughts to the Lord. Accept God's wonderful grace of mercy, gift of mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. Remember where you came from, not to dwell there in the pit, but to just remember that we are sinners also. But it's because of God's wonderful gift of grace that we can be set free. And because of that, we can be women that will go out and change the world for better because of grace. You know, Romans 12, 1 says, in view of God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What that verse means is, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God did for you, in view of the price that was paid, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That's the whole reason I have my ministry. In view of what God has done for me, that he forgave me, a sinful woman, can I offer him anything less than my life? I pray that you guys will make the same decision in your heart to be a woman saved by grace, accepted in your heart, and go out and change the world, just like little Emily did. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory for all that you're doing. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that's like Simon, who would be judging that person and saying, she's a sinner, he's a sinner, that person over there is a sinner, Lord, I pray that you would, in love, show them their own sin and that they would get it right with you right now. Your word says that if we would confess our sin, you are faithful to forgive us of all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray that she would just get her heart right now. And Lord, that she would accept your grace. And Lord, if there's any women in here right now who haven't forgiven themselves for things that they've done in the past, I pray, Lord, that they would move the truth of your love and your forgiveness and your grace from their head to their heart. And that they would go forward this day in peace, like the sinful woman said, because you say to them also, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let them accept that gift and walk out of here a woman who is now changing the world through grace. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I give you the glory. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would become a woman that, in view of your mercy, in view of what you've done for us, in view of the price you paid, that we would offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. And that this would become our spiritual act of worship every day, every hour, every moment. And thank you for little Emily, Lord, who didn't look at a woman like us adults do, but just looked at her in the way that you do. And your word says that we're to become like little children. And Lord, let each one of us become like her so that we can change the world through grace. I thank you and I praise you and I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.